Something a little bit different for you here this morning, because your priest usually speaks about the gospel when he gives you the Sunday homily. Gospel, most important reading that we have, because the gospel is the one that tells us about the life of Christ. Or your priest will speak about the gospel and the first reading, because the first reading is always an Old Testament prefiguring of the gospel. However, today, our most compelling subject matter comes to us from the second reading, the second letter of St. Paul to his beloved Corinthians, in which Paul says something really unusual. I hope you heard it when it was read. Paul says, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan to beat me, to keep me from becoming too elated. Three times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Now, we have commentaries on the scriptures that are so old that the people who wrote the commentaries knew the people who wrote the scriptures. Insights from the first generation of Christians who personally knew the apostles and were still drawing down spiritual treasure from what they wrote to this day. However, when Paul said this about a thorn in his side, nobody knew what he meant. Nobody knew what he meant. Maybe they think that it was a physical ailment. They say that Paul had bad eyesight. Maybe they think it was a spiritual weakness, some kind of temptation that in spite of all of his efforts and all of his prayers, never got any easier. Some people think maybe it was the persecutions that St. Paul relentlessly faced wherever he went. But whatever that thorn in his side was, we know this much. It was not some sort of passing thing. It was rather an abiding condition, because when Paul says, "Three times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me," he doesn't mean that he asked three times and then, you know, like gave up at number four. That's a Hebrew idiomatic expression, and it means that he asked over and over and over again. Now, in that sense, we all know what it feels like to have a thorn in your side, don't we? Because you know what it feels like to have an affliction, and you turn to heaven in prayer, and it's like nobody's there. It's like nobody's home, right? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe your affliction is physical. Remember once I was up in the mountains of Haiti. It's up in the missions. And there I met a man who broke his foot at the age of six. Because there was no doctor in the mountains of Haiti, he never had his foot set right. And he lived all of his life with his foot bent over and useless, looked like the club face of a golf club, hobbled around on crutches, and he was in his 70s. Now that's a thorn in your side. Sometimes a thorn in your side is spiritual. Maybe it's a temptation that afflicts you, and in spite of all of your best prayers and all of your perseverance, it never gets any easier. Thorn in your side. For a lot of people, you don't need me to tell you this, the thorn in your side is another person, and you try your best and just can't get them out of your life. And you pray, and you pray, and nothing happens. Remember, if you have a thorn in your side, God's message to St. Paul today is his message to you. Two things. Number one, my grace is sufficient for you. And number two, my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, sometimes you pray and you pray and you persevere and you put forth your best effort and you right the wrong. You right? The thorn is taken out of your side. All God needed was your cooperation. It was all part of a bigger plan. It's just that sometimes the thorn is the plan. When that happens, remember, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, what kind of a God would let you live and live and live with a thorn in your side? I mean, what kind of a mean God wouldn't just take the thorn out of your side? What kind of a mean God is there who wouldn't just do everything you asked him to do the moment you asked him to do it, just like he's a genie in a lamp? Of course, the answer is the real God, the God who loves you more than you can imagine, the God who's wiser than you could possibly imagine, the God who does not want to see you destroyed, but wants to see you become who you were created to be, allows that thorn to remain in your side because not only is suffering nature's way of making you stronger, and it is, but there is nothing wrong in this world that is not set right except by suffering. It's what purifies your soul, and there is no other way. You read the biographies of the most noteworthy people who ever lived, and you will find, as a rule, not as an exception, that they all had a thorn in their side. It's what made them who they are. The interpretive lens by which their entire life is to be seen. And the greater the soul, the greater the thorn. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Was she the greatest saint of the 20th century? I don't know. I think he could definitely make the case that she was. The saint of the slums who showed a world that didn't believe in God the joy, exuding joy of God that could envelop you at all times. One of those rare souls who was known to be a saint while she lived, who shocked the world upon her death in 1997. Because when they published her diaries and her personal correspondence, it revealed a soul who had lived decades in the deepest spiritual darkness. She said, "I pray and it seems like God's not even there, and sometimes it seems like God doesn't even exist." This from a woman who exuded the joy of God to everyone that she met. A thorn in her side. Yes, but did it destroy her? Far from it. It made her who she was meant to be. Because if you haven't heard this before, you should know this. Every saint who achieves the highest levels of spiritual perfection, that is the pure, pure love of God, devoid of all selfishness whatsoever, must pass through spiritual darkness. St. John of the Cross calls it the dark night of the soul, in which it seems as though God has abandoned you. You pray and nobody's there. And this, to draw out from your soul every last vestige of selfishness and self-seeking until there's none left in your pure love. You experience it as darkness. Now, John of the Cross, he says, he likens it to somebody who's asleep in a room in the darkness, and then someone throws open the window shades and the sunlight pours in. And the person in the darkness, they weren't ready for the light. So what do? They cover their eyes. Bathed in light, right? But they experience it as darkness until they adjust their eyes and they realize it was never dark. It was nothing but pure light the whole time. So too is God in our souls. Mother Teresa passed through it. It made her a saint. Pope John Paul II. Sometimes these days they call him John Paul the Great. Just as a little aside, just as a curiosity. Do you know what it takes to be called the Great? The few popes that are called great, Leo the Great, Gregory the Great. What does it take to be called the Great? Two things. Number one, you have to have a holiness that is above and beyond even the holiness of some of the other saints. You got to be an all-star in holiness. And number two, your influence has to be so great that not only did you change the course of the history of the church, but you changed the course of the history of the world. Pope John Paul II, who wrote so magnificently about human freedom all his whole life long, himself lived under the worst government repression and for decades in his native Poland. He was ruled first by Stalin, then by Hitler, then by Stalin again. And then decades under totalitarian communist oppression. Didn't breathe the air of a free man until he was a senior citizen. A thorn in his side. Yes. But it made him who he was meant to be. You see examples down through the Bible. Moses, God's spokesman, before the Pharaoh of Egypt at the most critical moment in Israel's history. Moses, God's spokesman, had a speech impediment. Thorn in his side. Or St. Vincent de Paul. Beloved saint serving the poor in the streets of Paris, suffered his entire life with strong temptations to greed. Could you believe it? Thorn in his side. And an example that maybe you haven't even heard of before. A woman named Saint Margaret of Castello lived in the 13th century, 14th century, about 800 years ago, who had a thorn in her side literally from the day she was born, because little baby Margaret was born to wealthy, powerful, rising nobility in the Italian hierarchy. And not only were they bitterly disappointed that they had given birth to a baby girl, because they wanted a boy to inherit the titles and to inherit the estate, but Margaret was afflicted with two terrible ailments. She was completely blind from birth, and she suffered from a curvature of the spine that left her hunched over her entire life. She never grew to be more than 4 feet tall. Her parents were embarrassed by her, hid her away from all friends and family. For 10 years, they kept her a secret, locked up in a room. Until finally, they abandoned her on the street, took a trip, left her behind, no exaggeration. And little Saint Margaret was taken in by the Dominican sisters, and she was allowed to become one of the Dominican sisters, and she spent the rest of her life caring for the poor and the disabled, they say, with the glow of heavenly radiance that was like a light from another world. And centuries ahead of her time, centuries, she started a school for the education of abandoned children. A thorn in her side that led her straight to heaven. So sometimes you have a thorn in your side, and you do your part, you pray, you say what you need to say, and God takes the thorn out of your side. It was all part of a plan. It's just that sometimes the thorn is the plan. When that happens, remember, His grace is sufficient for you, and His power is perfect in weakness, because when you live your life going from success to success to easy success, do you know what happens to you? Your soul becomes corrupted, hardened, cold, turned inward on yourself. God doesn't want that to happen to His beloved. And in allowing that thorn to remain in your side, He turns you outward towards others and turning towards God and falling to your knees, sometimes only through a broken heart, can God finally gain admittance. It's His grace. It's making you into who He created you to be. And His power, working through you in your weakness, more powerful than all of your intelligence, than all of your talents, than all of your gifts. God's power is greater in your weakness than it is in the strengths that He gave you as gifts and talents. I think I might have told you the story before of the woman I know. She was on her way to have an abortion. Absolutely convinced is what she wanted to do. And one cold December morning, she walks towards the clinic and she sees one lone man kneeling in the snow saying the rosary. She can't go through with it. She sees the man. She's reminded of God. She turns around and goes home. Gives birth to a perfectly healthy, beautiful baby girl. And that man never knew that he saved a life. Who knows? Maybe he was expecting a bunch of other friends to join him that morning. Maybe he felt like he was a failure. Maybe he didn't think he did any good at all. But look what God did through such weakness. It touches people's hearts. I think maybe I told you already the story before of the worst homily I ever gave. The worst, I was in the seminary. I was still a deacon, and I was still learning how to give homilies. So I got up there one Sunday morning, and as a church full of all my classmates and all my friends and all my professors, and it comes time for the gospel, and I read the gospel, and then afterwards, all eyes are on me. And I completely froze, lost my train of thought, and didn't know what to say. Stood there with my mouth open, jaw dropped, went back and took a seat, completely humiliated. Of course, after Mass, you know what everybody said. It's the best homily you ever gave. And why? Why? Because everybody knows what it feels like to screw up in public. And it touched their hearts. It's power. Is made perfect in weakness. And when Paul says power, you know the Greek word that he uses? It's dynamos. It's the same word that we use for dynamite. Your weakness is God's dynamite. Remember that. So yeah, sometimes the loving God who cares more about you than you care about yourself allows us to live with a thorn in the side. A little bit of encouragement here this morning to help us to persevere. And I'd like to end with one of my favorite prayers. I might have read you this prayer before too, I can't remember or not. This prayer comes from a 19th century French Jesuit. I'll pray it out loud, you guys just pray along in your heart, okay? Ready? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Mary, Mother of God, preserve in me the heart of a child, pure and clean like spring water. A simple heart, that does not remain absorbed in its own sadness. A loving heart that gives with compassion. A faithful and generous heart that neither forgets any good nor feels bitterness for any evil. Give me a humble heart that loves without asking to be loved in return, happy to lose itself in the heart of others, sacrificing itself in front of your divine Son. A great and unconquerable heart which no ingratitude can close and no indifference can tire. A heart tormented by the glory of Christ, pierced by his love with a wound that will not heal until heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.